It's easy to talk about being full of faith until the wind, the contrary, is dark and you're stuck in the middle, not knowing which way to go.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's when we find out what we really believe.
Because you really don't know how much faith you have until your faith is tested.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When we're stuck in difficult circumstances, we call on God to get us out. But Dr. Evans says God may already have us right where He wants us, and He'll explain today what we should do while we wait for Jesus to join us in the conflict. Let's join Him.
In Mark chapter 6, we have our next scenario that I want to look at with you. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side of Bethsaida, while He Himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, verse 46 says, He left them for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea, and He intended to pass by them. But when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Then He got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Here we have one of a number of scenarios in Scripture where Jesus Christ is developing His disciples in an arena where many of them are very familiar, water. And they knew the water well. Jesus Christ has just done one of the great miracles. We'll mention it a little bit more shortly, of the feeding of the 5,000. He then immediately tells His disciples to go in the boat ahead of Him to the other side of the sea. So the disciples are being obedient. They get in the boat, doing exactly what Jesus tells them to do, and they hit a storm. They've discovered, watch this, you can be both in the center of God's will and be in a storm. It says, seeing them, verse 48, straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. I believe if you have a King James Version, it reads, the winds were contrary to them. In other words, they're rowing in one direction and the wind is blowing in another direction. Guess what's happening? They are finding resistance in their obedience. Because remember, they're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Cross over, go ahead of me to the other side, and there is a contrary set of circumstances, the wind, that is hindering them from doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Have you ever wondered why sometimes obedience is so hard? Because there is resistance against the will of God for what He told them to do. Not only is the wind against them, we're told it's about the fourth watch of the night. It's dark. The fourth watch is 3 to 6 a.m. It's dark outside. They can't see. And that's often the case when you're between a rock and a hard place. God is very blurry. You don't hear Him. You don't see Him. It's dark. It's the fourth watch. It's not clear at all. The wind is resisting you from going in the direction Jesus told you to go. You don't want to be disobedient, but you can't make any progress, and you can't see very clearly because it's dark outside. That's a rock and a hard place. The question is, do I keep trying to get where Jesus told me to go, even though it's very difficult to get in that direction, or do I do the easier thing, turn around, and go back where the wind is working with me and not working against me, But if I turn around and go back to where the wind is working with me, now I'm disobedient because Jesus told me to go to the other side. But in obeying Jesus, I'm running into rough waters. So I'm Malcolm in the middle. I'm stuck. I'm between a rock and a hard place. And I'm trying to do what God told me to do. Isn't that what he said? Seeing them straining at the oars. So they are grunting and groaning. They're going, because the wind is pushing them opposite to the will of God. And they're doing everything they can, trying as hard as they can to do exactly what Jesus has told them to do. And they're stuck in the middle. Do I go back? Do I go forward? It's a no-win situation. If I go forward in his will, I can't get there. I'm being blocked. If I go back where I can at least roll with the wind supporting me, I'm disobeying him. Catch 22. That's a rock and a hard place. Which way do I go? Meanwhile, wouldn't you know it, Jesus is praying. Jesus be praying at the wrong time sometimes. Jesus went up to the, he left for the mountain to pray. Now, it's just a general prayer meeting, you know, Heavenly Father, you know, I praise you, I worship you, I give you glory. No. No, he went to pray in light of what he was getting ready to put them through. How do I know he's praying about what they're being put through? Verse 48, seeing them straining at the oars. Are you with me? He's praying and at the same time watching, which is a very interesting situation since it's 3 to 6 a.m. and they're 4 miles out. I don't know how in the world you see anybody straining at anything pitch black in the middle of the night, 4 miles out. That is, unless you're God. Then that'll help you. So Jesus's prayer is the same prayer he prayed for Peter, that their faith fail not. That's Jesus's regular prayer for us when we're put in a trial in general and between a rock and a hard place in particular. His regular prayer, Luke 22 says, is that your faith fail not. Luke 22 verses 31 and 32. That in spite of what you're getting ready to go through, that your circumstances don't overrule your faith. Because the tension when you're between a rock and a hard place, like we saw Israel, you know, why did you take us out of Egypt even though we asked you to? The tension is to lose sight of God because of the scope of the circumstances, the negatives that we are now facing. So they are straining at the oars. Jesus is watching them. The Bible says something about Jesus you need to know, and I'm sure you do. In Hebrews 4, we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Why? Because Jesus Christ is a man. He became human to identify with us experientially. A male OBGYN can understand academically what a pregnant woman in labor is going through. Because he's read the books and he's seen a bunch of them. But a female OBGYN who's had a baby can sympathize. Because she not only has the information, she also has the experience. She's been in labor and has given birth. God the Father knows the information. God the Son has been through the experience. So that's why they can fully relate. We have a high priest who can fully sympathize with what you are going through, and he is seeing them straining at the oars. They're in a catch 22. They're stuck in the middle. They're between a rock and a hard place. And then it happened. He came to them walking on the water. That's a little strange situation there. Jesus Christ is walking on the water. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is walking on the water. See, some of you just missed that. Jesus Christ is walking on the water. Now, why am I continuing to repeat that? Watch this now. Jesus came to them on top of their problem. Their problem is the water. Their problem is the water has been whipped up by the wind, creating this havoc environment, and Jesus Christ comes to them on the very thing that was the problem. When you are in a catch 22, we're generally looking for God to take us out of the catch 22. That is our normal perspective because we don't want to be in this conflicting situation. When often what Jesus wants to do is join you in the conflict. Isn't that what happened to my three boys? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew boys are thrown in the fire. And then when Nebuchadnezzar, I call him Nebi for short, when Nebi looks in there, he said, how many did we put it in? We put in three. How come I see four? And the fourth one is as the Son of God, and they are walking around. Didn't we tie them up and bind them when we put them in there? How come they have evening fellowship in the middle of a bad situation? All right? Jesus comes to them on the problem, which is why they didn't recognize it. The verse goes on to say, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. I would have loved, I'm going to ask for a rerun of this one when we get to heaven. I'm going to say, I want you to rerun these 12 grown men screaming, ah! Because this is not Casper the Friendly Ghost here. I can feel that pain. It's dark. You understand me? It's in the middle of the morning. It is dark. The wind is whipping up all over the place. They are terrified that they're going to lose their life. And something come walking up on the water. If I was there, I would go, ah, too. I mean, this is a scary situation we got going on here. In other words, they did not expect a visitation like this. Jesus had been praying for them that their faith fail not because he's watching them straining to obey, straining to go exactly where God tells them to go in a contradictory situation.
Dr. Evans will tell us the story of another stormy situation and what it teaches us about trust when he returns in a moment with more of this message from his current series called Believe. You'll want to review this collection next time you feel like your life is spinning out of control or the problems keep piling up. It'll give you the courage you need to press on in the face of hard times and show you how today's trials prepare you for tomorrow's victories. And if you contact us in the next few days, we'll send you all four full-length lessons in this collection as our way of saying thanks for any contribution you make, large or small, to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. This limited-time offer ends soon. So make the arrangements today by calling our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. It's open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit us online at tonyevans.org. While you're there, be sure to check out another important tool you can carry with you wherever you go, the Tony Evans Training Center. Think of it as a seminary on your smartphone, tablet, or other device. It covers a wide range of topics, starting with a free introductory course on evangelism. Each one includes interactive study resources, questions, and activities that help you understand and apply key concepts. There's also custom content from Tony, not available anywhere else, and an online discussion forum where you can get specific questions answered. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center when you visit tonyevans.org. Right now, here's Dr. Evans again with more of today's lesson.
It says in verse 48, a very interesting phrase. He intended to pass by them. That's interesting. I mean, it's bad enough. You coming in the dark looking like Casper's ugly brother because it's scaring me. And you going to pass me by? This isn't the only time Jesus did this. You remember the story, it's in Luke 24. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road. They're walking on the Emmaus Road. They're all down and discouraged. And Jesus, somewhat camouflaged, says to them, "What's wrong, guys?" He said, "Stranger, don't you know what's happening? This Jesus of Nazareth, who we expected to be our deliverer, he was given up by the priests. He was crucified. And now we can't find his body, and we thought he was going to be our deliverer." And Jesus said, open the Bible, says to Moses and the prophet, and says, "Oh, foolish and slow to believe." And he went through the scriptures and spoke of himself, although they didn't know it was Jesus. So they're walking, and he's doing a Bible study as they walk. They finally get to their house. And the Bible says, and Jesus acted as though he would keep going. He would keep going. In other words, what are you going to do with the information you just got from the word? Because that will determine whether I stop and stay or keep going. It says they bid him to come in. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." They bid him to come in. It says that as Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him as the Son of God. And that's when the great statement is made, "Did not our hearts burn within us as we listened to the man of God along the way?" As Jesus broke the bread, no doubt they saw the nail prints in his hand. As he broke the bread, here's what happened. When he walked with them, they got the word of God. When they fellowshipped with him in the house, they got a word from God because their eyes were open. In other words, when he was just having a Bible study with them, they got spiritual truth, but their eyes still weren't open. Their eyes still didn't see things clearly. Only when the word of God led to fellowship with the person did their eyes open around the bread and illumination set in so that they could actually see Christ. And then the Bible says he disappeared out of their midst. The point is he pretended, so to speak, to walk by to see what they would do with the truth that they had academically received, whether it would lead to a personal relationship, personal interaction, which gave them greater illumination, and the scales fell off. Just having the formal Bible study wasn't enough for the scales to drop off. So Jesus now would pass them by. The question is, what are you going to do with what I told you when I told you to go to the other side? That's the question. Is it enough just to get information? Are you going to bail on me because you're now between a rock and a hard place and the going has gotten tough? Or is your faith going to prevail in spite of your circumstances? Because you really don't know how much faith you have until your faith is tested. It's easy to talk about being full of faith until the wind, the contrary, is dark and you're stuck in the middle, not knowing which way to go. That is the testing or the proving of our faith. So Jesus Christ is coming by to see how they're going to respond. They didn't recognize him because they didn't expect him. Now let's put a parenthesis in here, because this story is found in all the Gospels, and it's found in Matthew. When Matthew tells the story in chapter 14, Matthew gives us some information that Mark doesn't give us. And that's one of the beauties of the Gospels. When they tell the same story, they usually give details that one of the other Gospelers do not give. And this is the story of Peter walking on water. It's the same story. Jesus is walking on water, and it finally dawns on them, because he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid," okay, because they're scared to death. So he spoke to them, watch this, to calm their inside before he ever changed what was happening to their outside. In other words, he's not done anything with the storm yet. We're going to pick that up in a moment. He's not done anything with the storm yet, but the storm around them, But he speaks to the storm inside of them because they're very much afraid. So he calms them down with his word. I'm sure many of you have been to a session, a Bible study teacher, a sermon on Sunday, and you were in turmoil, and just hearing the word calmed you down, even though it didn't change what you were facing. Well, that's precisely what's happening here. So the disciples now hear his voice. Well, now this is when Peter, in Matthew's story line of this, says, "Bid me come." And by the way, that's always what you want in a leader. Somebody who'll step out when everybody else is too scared to move. Peter says, "Bid me come." Peter, I love Peter. I can't wait to meet Peter when I get to heaven. Peter's my main man, okay? The boy wore peppermint socks because he loved to keep his foot in his mouth. But he would regularly come through. I mean, and this is one of those times. He said, "Bid me to come. If you say it, I can join you on top of the problem." Because the problem hasn't disappeared. But he sees Jesus not subsumed by the same problem that he's facing. And Jesus is walking on the problem. So he says, "Bid me to come so that I can join you." Jesus bids him to come. So Peter starts walking on the water, okay? He's now, watch this, walking on the problem. The problem has not disappeared, but because he is now in line with Jesus Christ and Jesus has bid him to come, the problem is no longer defining him. It hasn't disappeared, but it's no longer defining him. Until, Matthew 14 says, Peter looked around and saw how bad the storm was. Now, it was that bad before you got out the boat, dummy. But the reason why it didn't feel as bad as it was is because he was listening to Jesus' word, not looking at how bad the storm was. But once he started walking on the water, he began to pay a lot of attention to how bad his situation was because of the rolling of the waves. It says when he took his eyes off of Jesus and put his eyes on the circumstances, he began to sink. Why does Jesus let his children sink, especially when he's doing a pretty good job of walking on the water? Because Jesus wants to drive in us the same principle that is in Hebrews chapter 12, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, that is starter and completer of your faith. The moment you look at your circumstances to determine how well off you are, your circumstances will drive you down if they're negative circumstances, because they're going to suck you under. Peter said, "Save me." The Bible says Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. In other words, when he re-got his focus, he found that there was victory in the middle of a stormy situation.
Great words of encouragement from Dr. Tony Evans as he wraps up his lesson called Trials and Trusting. Has God brought someone to mind who needs to hear this message? Or maybe you'd like to review it on your own or share it with your Bible study or Sunday school group. Just call us at 1-800-800-3222 or visit us at tonyevans.org for details on getting a copy. The title again, Trials and Trusting. This message also comes as a part of Tony's current teaching series called Believe. Don't forget, if you request it right away, we'll send you this entire 4-message collection on CD as our gift when you support the Ministry of the Alternative with a donation of any amount. But don't wait, this special offer runs out in just a few more days. Visit tonyevans.org today or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly people in our resource center will be happy to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, we'll hear more from Dr. Evans about how Jesus can turn what looks like a sure disaster into a miraculous moment. Be sure to join us. In the meantime, have a great weekend. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.